I advise no girl to marry an artist who hasn't been an artist herself. Those wise words from Jocelyn Plata were born out of her own life experience. A few years ago, producer Nicole Steinke went in search of the story of artist Karl Plata, an important figure in Sydney's cultural milieu in the post-war period. Karl Plata died in 1977, so this story is told from the perspective of the three women who were closest to him, his wife Jocelyn and their daughters Cassie and Gina Plata.
We didn't find it particularly bohemian. That was the way you lived.
My name's Cassie Plata. I'm the youngest of four children of Karl and Jocelyn Plata, and they ran the Notenda Gallery in Rowe Street.
I'm Gina Plata. I'm the second youngest. Second youngest daughter of Karl and Jocelyn Plata.
And I am Jocelyn Plata, the mother of all these children.
The Notenda Gallery was a cultural landmark in Sydney for more than two decades, a place where people could experience that outrageous modern art from Europe, in colour. It brought an almost unknown world to life. Karl Plata was a fascinating character, as we'll hear. He was also one of Sydney's most important artists of the post-war period. But some say his importance as an artist was eclipsed by the significance of his gallery in the artistic life of the city. He died in 1977. Jocelyn Plata talks about how it all began.
Well, the Notenda was the gallery that we all knew, was opened by my husband in 1940, when he came back from 5 years in Europe. The word Notenda used to be in the ordinary Oxford Dictionary, but isn't anymore. It means something to be noticed. He took the name from a previous Notenda, because we were at 41, and the previous Notenda was at 17 Rowe Street, and that had been opened by his sister, Margot Lewis, I think in 35 or 6, and lasted 3 or 4 years. Was really active when we were there, particularly because of the war. It was something that was flourishing. People needed, were extra in need of something as a contrast to all the things that were happening in the world that they didn't really know too much about and were sort of separated from, but it meant people were going to be sent to war and all this sort of thing. So it was a good counter to all that sort of thing.
And what did your husband, what did Karl provide in the Notenda?
Well, the reason that he started it was that he really wanted to paint, and he had to find a source of income, but he was determined that it was going to be something of interest to him as well. He'd been in commercial art in England, and he'd been painting ever since he was a kid, and his father had been a painter. Father died when he was 4, but everything was left in the house, and, you know, there was a sort of feeling in the house that that was a good thing to be. And he'd seen what was going on in the world, and Australia was very isolated and not au fait with anything modern at all. And he had a good grasp of history and periods of art and so on. So he brought prints and few things, but really only stuff that he could carry on his back. So it wasn't enough to stock a shop, but he'd found out how to import books and prints and postcards and all this sort of thing, and that's what he stocked. Another thing that there was a great fashion for was women liked to make placemats, and they could come in and buy a whole set of reproductions that would be suitable for putting on placemats.
And what sorts of women would these be?
Oh, people who were at home, and when they weren't rushing off to work the way they do now, but who had some feeling they want to do something artistic. They weren't going to be painters, but maybe they could have something that was a little bit original.
At what stage did you become part of the gallery?
Oh, I had met Karl once in England, and he told us that he was planning to open a shop. He said, oh, well, look me up when you get back. So I just went in as a student. I was an art student by then. And I got a job over Christmas or something like that as a junior. And then I married the boss 5 or 6 years later.
What sort of a man or a character was he?
Oh, don't ask me. Very absolutely focused on being a painter. And really only interested in things connected with the arts. Very definitely. Mind you, he thought it'd be a good idea to have 4 children. It was his idea. It's a good thing he made up his mind, because I never would have. He bought a house down near Sutherland called Warrenora, and he'd stood on the front porch of this very small one-bedroomed house, and he could see the river through the trees. So I thought, oh, well, I can, you know. Everything was very financially restrained. That was a place for drunks and de factos down there, I was told later, and it was, the prices were distinctly modest, so we could afford it. But it was 18 miles, yes, about 30 kilometres south of Sydney.
So who did the commute?
Well, of course, by the time I started having children, I was down there. I wasn't working in the shop.
So he would abandon you each day in the middle of nowhere with the de factos and the drunks?
Not quite. Eventually he organised it, he got established enough that he could afford to have a manager, and he would go in 2 days a week and stay overnight with friends and organise his business like that. And then we didn't have a telephone for 13 years down there, you know, because there weren't any. There were phones, but all the lines were taken, so we waited 13 years to get a phone. And he would go down to the public phone and ring his business and tell them what to do if they didn't know. He had to get up very early. It was because he had to get a parking close by. The big parking stations weren't there then. A few cars could park, but you had to be there early. At 4:30, leave at 5:30, and get in there before 6:30. And if you didn't, the place would be taken.
So you and the children would wake up and he'd be gone?
Oh, yes. Well, I woke up when he woke up, and I couldn't go back to sleep again, so it was a very long day. Then I'd have to start feeding babies or something.
The shop had a little mezzanine area upstairs, which was sort of like an office that he could work in. He was also downstairs, but he could work in his little office upstairs, and there was a little bed there. And so when he got to work at 6:30, he would have a snooze before the shop people came in, the shop opened.
That's right. And he'd originally used that space because he thought that he might be able to live there. There was a loo out the back, and I think he'd even fixed some sort of a pipe with a made little shower. And he started sleeping there, and then he found the rats come over his feet. He didn't like that much. So that's when he found a place to live in the city.
We're listening to ABC Radio National. Jocelyn and her daughters Gina and Cassie Plata talk of life with their artist father, Carl.
One of the first things Carl Plata did in the Notanda Gallery was actually use it as an exhibition space and held a couple of very early exhibitions. And
when you say Carl Plata, you mean your dad.
I do, yes. And he exhibited painters who were also teaching, so there were art classes being taught in the street, so that was bringing people to the street. And the first artist he held an exhibition, I guess it was before he had stock in the shop, or else he moved the stock aside. He mustn't have had much in the shop then. That was Orban, who became very famous as a teacher of lots and lots of people and a very influential person. And he was an immigrant who came to Australia because of the war and had very, you know, quite sophisticated experience and knowledge of what was happening in Europe, and had been, you know, around the Paris studios and so on. And then after that, the first show that my father organised was an exhibition of modern English artists, and they were some of the first really truly expressionist works that were seen. And that was in 1940, so it was very early. Ben Nicholson and other artists.
That must have been rather scary for a lot of the people.
Yeah, I think people found it quite confronting. They'd never seen work like that at all. And I don't think any of the work was acquired by any of the state galleries. And someone I read the other day dismissed it, saying it was actually, you know, who was it? Oh, it was Sidney Yule Smith. He said, oh, well, they would make quite nice patterns on a tray. That's how he described Ben Nicholson's paintings.
I think that exhibition was works that he brought back from people he'd known in England when he was living there for those 5 years. And when he sold any of the works, instead of sending money back to the people in England, he sent them food parcels, because it was still during the war and they were obviously on food rations, and so he would send them food rations back.
That's what they wanted. That's what they asked for.
Yeah.
Yes. And I remember being sent down to farmers to organise these, because they had a special place you could go to send food parcels. So I'd go down and organise sending these parcels.
A couple of the stories I've heard back from people is that they walked in and they might have been an art student, perhaps, or had some sort of vague interest in art, but their experience in the gallery sometimes was really decisive, that they'd start looking at the things, and a couple of people have said they'd talk to the proprietor, to the manager, who's Carl Plata, and that just would change their life completely. That it'd totally turn around the way they saw the world and the way they worked and what they did with their lives. It's quite extraordinary what a galvanising effect it had on people. And I think it was largely because they could actually
handle
it themselves and engage with the images and pick up the books and follow through some ideas and then start chatting to people. It was a real place where people came and talked and hung out.
I was told by somebody yesterday that before then, it was likely you would only ever see prints in black and white, and so the explosion of colour.
Yes, that's true.
A lot of people have commented that there was really only at that period, probably up till the late 50s at least, only Nibbies in Melbourne and Notanda in Sydney. They were the only places where you could see modern art.
Wow.
And so they were really inspiring to a lot of people, particularly colour reproductions.
I remember Carl complaining once or twice, people pissed through his letterbox.
Was that because of the art?
Well, sort of, you know, a bit of resentment on this stuff that they didn't want to accept. This was rather early days, but that they thought this was a suitable mark to make.
Wasn't there a controversy about a painting he had in the window once that was a nude and people
Midigliani.
Tried the Midigliani nude?
Oh, quite possibly, yes. That might have inspired a piss through the letterbox.
Would he have put a nude in the window because it was fabulous, beautiful, or because he wanted a reaction?
No, I don't think he would have thought of it as being particularly provocative, but it was an interesting painting, and Modigliani wasn't that much known to the general public. People not familiar with that sort of work at all, it would have been very confronting.
It's quite a good sign of just how conservative Sydney was at the time.
And I think it was Menzies saying after some exhibition of art from Europe, oh, we're not going to have any of that French stuff here anymore, you know, or Italian or whatever it was. My mother had always been doing publicity for the arts and was a painter herself and had earned a living before the First World War as a commercial artist, which was quite unusual, woman freelancing. Her name was Elaine Clarice Zander, and she'd brought out an exhibition to Australia in 1932 and 3, and that had been well remembered. But it meant the background was all to do with the arts. That's what we valued. So it was a normal surrounding. You were interested in the arts.
Did you ever continue your own artwork?
No. Sometimes I'd draw a bit of Carl's idea of a holiday was always camping, so we'd go camping and he'd draw and paint a bit, and sometimes I'd do a bit of drawing then. But the greatest value to me was I'd strongly advise no girl to marry an artist unless they have been an artist to some extent themselves. Otherwise, you cannot really credit the focus that an artist has on his own work. And you've got to be able to accept that before you begin. Otherwise, there's be nothing but confusion and resentment. So you've just got to be in it firsthand. And then it's very satisfactory because they understand lots of things that ordinary people don't understand at all. And they allow for things and they've got an eye for things and they see things. And it's very interesting to be married to a painter.
Jocelyn Plater, wife of the late artist Carl Plater, whose work was part of an exhibition held at the New South Wales Art Gallery several years ago. You also heard from his daughters Gina and Cassie Plater in this excerpt from a longer verbatim program produced by Nicole Steinke. There's a link on the Earshot webpage to the full-length program and to some of Carl Plater's wonderful paintings. This is Earshot. I'm David Rutledge, and you're with RN.